And it is a very good time to visit the Oregon coast. The weather pretty much goes without saying. 72 and breezy beats 110 and not, that's for sure. But this coming week, there's an additional attraction, the return of the Oregon Coast Music Festival. There's a kickoff event tomorrow and then three big concerts next week and the resumption of an event that dates back nearly 40 years. The audience at the first concert next Thursday will hear this. That is the work of the composer Alberto Ginastera from Argentina, and that's his Variaciones Concertantes, one of the many offerings heard at this year's concerts of the Oregon Coast Music Festival. We welcome music director and conductor James Paul with us once again. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Happy to be here.
So for the people who are not familiar with the festival, give us an overview, if you would.
Well, this is the 39th year of the festival. The folks there in Coos Bay have kept that festival going for 39 years through thick and thin, and we've had some thin financial times on the Oregon coast, as you know, but the festival itself is doing very well, and it's a second week is what we call the orchestra week, but the festival itself has other offerings in the week preceding the orchestra week, smaller groups and local talents. But the orchestra itself is about an 85-piece ensemble, sometimes as many as 90. We play in Marshfield High School Auditorium, which is a magnificent place. I've conducted in the Musikverein in Vienna, and this reminds me of that. Wherever you sit in the house is where the sound takes place. It's a magic place, and many of the orchestra players have been coming for years and years to play in our festival. This is my 26th year as music director. So we get along well and we have a great time and we try to play music that we believe the folks will enjoy.
In your 26th year, I understand you're only the third music director at the festival, is that right?
Actually, I'm the second.
Second, oh, okay.
Yeah. The first one was a gentleman named Gary McLaughlin, who I think moved down to California some years ago. But, well, actually, I know you are correct. The founding conductor, I forgot him. Gary was the second, so I'm the third. Yeah, you're quite right.
I noticed that the founder, Dr. Charles Haydn, wanted to bring music to an area he considered culturally impoverished. I wonder if that rubbed a few people the wrong way at the time.
Probably. Just as much as when Sir Thomas Beecham referred to the Seattle as the cultural dustbin of America.
Not a way to endear yourself to a community.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. That was when he was leaving the orchestra.
Dr. Haydn in Coos Bay started fairly modestly, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, they started, I think, with just basically a chamber ensemble, and it gradually grew over the years. And now we can do programs like our first one is called the Virtuoso Orchestra, and the folks who come will get to hear the Berlioz Roman Carnival Overture, and then the piece that you just did a little bit from the concert variations of Ginastera. And then after intermission, we're playing a beautiful suite from The Music to the Tender Land by Aaron Copland, basically his only real opera. And then closing the program with Ravel's Bolero, which most people like very much.
That's a roof raiser, I think, for any concert.
Yeah, yeah.
How has you mentioned some tight financial times in the coastal area, obviously, but that the festival is doing okay. Is there anything different about the festival and how it's being conducted this year? And I don't mean music conducted, but just, you know, put on.
No, I don't think so. We do our best to make a big outreach to the community, who's done a pretty good job of supporting us over the years. Many of the businesses back us, and of course, the board of directors of the festival, no one's paid on that. They do it all out of their love of music and their belief in bringing good things to the Coos Bay North Bend area. So that's been a wonderful thing, and that attitude has been there from the beginning. And we have some very loyal people who attend our concerts, including one or two couples that fly out from New York, if you can believe it. And I must say that our orchestra has many outstanding players in it, many of them, of course, from the West Coast. But, for instance, our principal bass player is the principal bass of the Indianapolis Symphony. Our concertmaster is the concertmaster of the Phoenix Symphony. I can go on and on. But it's a remarkable ensemble in a remarkable hall, and you can feel the energy of the orchestra just reach out, comporting off that stage to the audience. It's a wonderful experience. You know, we have that opening concert that I've just described next Tuesday night at 7:30. And then on Thursday night, we have a Pops concert. And Adam Stern is our Pops conductor, associate conductor. He does that concert. That's always a big success. And then on Saturday night is our final big concert, which I call Northern Lights. And it will have the Helios Overture by Nielsen, the Swedish Rhapsody of Hugo Alfvén, and the Sibelius Second Symphony. So as you can see, we do really good stuff.
We actually grabbed a little bit of two of those, so let's actually hear a little bit of Nielsen's Helios.
Okay.
Carl Nielsen, the Danish composer from the 19th and 20th centuries, with Helios, which will be played at the Northern Lights concert.
That's the Saturday night concert that opens the program, and I should say that it's called an overture, but it's really a tiny. It's a short tone poem. Is what it is. It kind of depicts dawn and the rising of the sun and the gradual disappearance of the sun. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music.
It truly is. Well, I enjoyed listening to that, and yeah. I'd like to hear more of that. So, but interesting that the thematic concert, though, with Northern Lights, so you've got different things, in talking about things in the heavens.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Alfvén Midsommarvecka, is its title in Swedish, Midsummer Evening. But it has actually a very famous tune that the older members of the audience will remember. We used to call it the Swedish Rhapsody. I think they'll enjoy that very much. It is a great tone poem, the Midsommarvecka. I've done it a number of times over the years, and people always enjoy it. The Sibelius Second Symphony, he, of course, was from Finland, is one of the great, great late Romantic classics, and unforgettable.
James Paul is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the music director and conductor of the orchestra at the Oregon Coast Music Festival. The orchestra concert is coming up next Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. The Pops concert is Thursday. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you've got some questions or maybe some observations. Maybe you've been to the Oregon Coast Music Festival in the past and want to give some impressions. We would like to hear those. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone or to get in by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. There's a great clip on the website of the Oregon Coast Music Festival the first rehearsal from 2 years ago. And to my ears, it sounds flawless. What's it like to get back into a room with musicians who you haven't seen or worked with in a year?
Well, you know, when I first started out a number of years ago, for several seasons, we had the great American pianist Abbe Simon as our soloist. And in the second year, I remember him saying to me, after the first or second, he said, you know, it's amazing to come to a festival orchestra and it sounds and makes you feel as if it's been playing together all year. And these players, many of them do work together in various orchestras, and they are used to coming every summer here, and they're used to me and I'm used to them, and we know where we're heading right from the beginning. And it's kind of remarkable, actually.
Is it a different kind of player who plays the festival circuit and does that kind of jetting around the country to get from...
No, I don't want to give that impression. Mm-hmm. Most of our players are from the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California. We have a number of our players play in the various orchestras up and down the coast, but also do freelance work for television and film and so forth. They're extremely skilled. In fact, our whole orchestra is extremely skilled, and they are used to coming together every summer, and they stay with families. People adore them, and our concerts are kind of magic events, which is kind of a highlight of I've kind of kept that as a highlight of all my years as a conductor. I've turned down other jobs to make sure I could be there. because it's a rare event. It's a time free of politics, and by politics I mean orchestral politics and all that stuff, as where people really come to make music as beautifully as they can, and it's, you can feel it, you can hear it, and the audience is always very vocal in its enthusiasm.
Since everybody does come in for the festival, where do you spend most of the year, James Paul?
I live in Ojai, California,
in Ventura County,
down south of Santa Barbara, inland away. It's gets a bit warmer there than it usually does up in Coos Bay, and I was born, of course, in a little town called Forest Grove, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
So I always love to come back to Oregon, and I did spend some time as a child in Coos Bay, so I have great fond memories of there, and I love coming back every year. I'll do it as long as I'm able to function. I'd like to do that, who knows how long that will be, but it's been a good while now, and I look forward to it absolutely every year.
You anticipated a question I was going to ask then. I think this is your 27th season then?
This will be my 26th year.
26th,
next
okay.
Next year will be my 27th.
Okay. So as long as you can is the answer to the question, how much longer you plan to do this?
Well, let's put it this way. There was one time when someone on the board said, well, look, we'd like to continue on the board until the orchestra festival reaches its 50th anniversary. And every seat in every concert is absolutely sold out. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but by the time the orchestra reaches its 50th anniversary, I'll be 87. To which they replied, that's all right, we'll just wheel you out on stage, you wave your arms, and we'll wheel you off. So I have tenure for the first time in my life. It's been a wonderful, wonderful group of people to work with there, the board of trustees, the board of directors, and the citizens in the community that I know. And there are people who work so hard for that festival, just give it hours and hours and days and weeks of their time to make it go. And I think they all feel that it's worth it. It's kind of a magic time that week.
And it's more than just the concerts, I understand. Is there some outreach work that the Oregon Coast Music Festival does as well?
Yes, of course, in terms of advertisement and sending small groups out, and they're all, people are always ready to go out and yell and talk about the festival. So, yeah, there is a lot of that, yeah.
You had mentioned briefly at the outset about the quality of the auditorium, that if anybody is thinking about, well, I don't know if I'd want to go see an orchestra concert at a high school auditorium, but Marshfield High School's auditorium seats 1,500, certainly looks beautiful in pictures, and as you point out, is just an acoustical wonder. How did Marshfield High School end up with such a great facility?
I don't think it's the only high school auditorium in Oregon. There may be a couple of other. It was a WPA project. And somehow they built the audio. I've had the recording engineer for reference recordings, whom I record for, come out to the hall, and he said it's a perfect place for recording. But it is a hall that is built in such a way. It reminds me of the Musikverein in Vienna. The orchestra can hear itself perfectly on stage. The sound is projected off the stage beautifully, directly into the hall. There's an immediacy there that is really kind of overwhelming. And it's just one of those magic places. They just designed it and made it out of materials and arranged things in such a way that it promotes sound. It's spectacular.
And by WPA, that's the Works Progress Administration during the Depression, right?
Yep,
way
it.
Back then.
Yeah,
okay.
That goes back to almost to the Roosevelt years. It does. It goes back to the Roosevelt years, you know. But I'm told that there are a couple of other high school auditoriums that were built by the same group of people that built Marshfield, and that they also have wonderful acoustics as well. But anyone coming to it, no matter where you sit in the house, close to the front, far back, you'll hear amazing sounds, and they will be immediately present to you. Not like they're coming from down there. They take place where you sit. It's an amazing experience. They tell me it's a lot like the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam.
Okay, which is a well-regarded hall, obviously.
Yeah.
James Paul is the music director and conductor of the Oregon Coast Music Festival. The concerts are Tuesday. That's the Virtuoso Orchestra concert. The Pops concert next Thursday. And then on Saturday, the 29th, is the Northern Lights Concert. James Paul, I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll play you out, actually, with Hugo Alfen's Midsummer Evening event. And so this will be one of the things that I heard. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure. James Paul had told us that was a fairly catchy tune. That is Hugo Alfven, the Swedish composer from the 19th and 20th centuries, with Midsummer Evening, one of the featured offerings at the Northern Lights Concert at the Oregon Coast Music Festival. That'll be on Saturday, July 29th. The Virtuoso Orchestra Concert is on Tuesday, the 25th. The Pops Concert on Thursday, the 27th, all at Marshfield High School in Coos Bay. I want to thank James Paul again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the offerings at the upcoming Oregon Coast Music Festival.